Well, before we begin our study tonight, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Every Jewish holiday has a message of hope, and Hanukkah has a very special message for us. Hanukkah reminds us that we can get back what we've lost. What has been taken from us can be restored to us. Before the time of Hanukkah, before the successful victory of the Maccabees, the spiritual life and the freedom of the Jewish people was almost lost. The Torah, the prophets, the writings, the holy scriptures were illegal to own and to use. The temple in Jerusalem had been taken away from us and had been dedicated to false worship. It looked like there was no hope. It looked like there was no future for the Jewish people, for the nation of Israel, for the covenant with God. It looked like the Greeks were going to rule over everything. But you and I are here today because of the victory of Hanukkah, because of the victory of those who fought, and not just those who fought, but those who continued to live as Jews and those who preserved Jewish life and continuity. We are here. So we need to remember you can get back what you've lost. You need to remember that what's been taken from you can be restored. And I want you to never forget that you serve a God of hope. I love what Paul wrote to the Romans. What country is Rome in? Italy. Okay, so this little Jewish boy, by then a man, is instructing Imperial Rome, specifically the believers in Rome, about how they're to see things. And he writes this, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, and he's speaking about the God of Israel, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard of Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, the peace that Rome promised to the nations of the world and their empire. Well, Paul is taking a very radical and even contrary position. He's saying, in essence, the peace of Rome is no promise at all. The real peace that will make a difference is the peace of God. And so it's not Caesar who will give you any joy. It's not the government that you serve that will give you joy and peace. How many of you can verify that? But it's God Almighty who will give you joy. He'll give you peace. And how do you get it? You get it by trusting in him. Being in a position where you need to depend on him, and you do, you trust him. Paul says, in this way, you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, as you start trusting in the God of hope, as you continue to trust in the God of hope, you get filled up with something. You know what it is? Hope. You get filled up with hope. You start looking at the future differently. You anticipate what's ahead in a different way. You don't just look backwards and say, you know what? We're in an impossible situation. You know what? We've lost our health. You know what? We've lost our freedom. You know, we've lost our family. We've lost our relationships. When you start thinking that you've lost your future by looking backwards, by looking at circumstances of difficulty and challenge, you've forgotten that God is a God of hope. And we hope for what we don't have. No one hopes for what he does have. You're thankful for what you do have. Not one of you is hoping that you'll be on a chair right now, because you are on a chair. None of you has to hope, I wish I were at Beth Israel right now. You are here. How many of you are sitting next to your beloved spouse, can I see? Or a family member? You see, you don't have to hope that you were sitting next to them. You are sitting next to your beloved. And you can, I like to encourage you to do this, guys, look at your beloved wife, look her in the eyes, tell her you love her, say something sweet to her. You can do it. I know you can. It makes a difference, doesn't it? The God of hope, he's the source of hope. He'll fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. And that causes you to overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit with hope. Don't forget, you serve a God who gives hope. He's made plans to do good for you. God has plans. That's what the prophet Jeremiah teaches us. God is looking into the future on your behalf. He's organized things. He's set things in motion. He has appointments for you. He has assignments for you. He's made plans for your future. Jeremiah 29:11 puts it this way, "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Who's in favor of hope and a future? That's God's position for you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. And during Hanukkah, we're remembering that God is able to restore lost hope. He's able to restore situations that seem hopeless. The miracle of Hanukkah is remembered as we light the candles on the menorah. Every night we add another candle. What a Hanukkah. This is like a work of abstract art right now. Don't you think? It's like, I particularly like this one. It looks like what?
Icicles,
yeah. Vertical icicles and... Wow. It's beautiful. And then look at the humble Shabbat candles. They're just doing their job, marking the time that's been set for resting and refreshing, but the Hanukkah, it's like they know what they came from. You know, we are Hanukkah candles. How do they look from this side? Oh, man. It's beautiful. There was a debate early on in the celebration of Hanukkah. Should you start with 8 candles plus the shamash, the servant candle, and then work your way down, 7 candles all the way down to 1 candle on the last night? Or should you do it this way where you start with 1 candle, add to it? And this position prevailed because it speaks of something. The light is strongest when? On the 8th day. The light is the greatest the further you go into the 8 days of Hanukkah. And it reminds us of something, that the miracle working power of God gets stronger and stronger, shows more light the closer you get to the end of your situation. There is darkness, there's no doubt about that. But the light gets brighter. And so we light the extra candles day by day because it's a message of hope. It's a message that God's at work in dark times and his light will shine and his light will grow stronger. It feels like we're in dark times these days. It feels like the world is getting darker and darker. But you know what? The Lord has been through times like this with his people, giving guidance to his people many times when they face difficulty. And he spoke a word through the prophet Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It says this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, get up. Get up and shine." What are you supposed to do in the times of darkness? Hunker down? Retreat to your closet? Build a bunker? Become an agoraphobe? You know what that means? Someone who's afraid to go outside? No. No. Get up and shine. Get up and start shining. Arise and shine. Your light has come. Where are you going to get light to shine with? The Lord. One of the names of Messiah is light. He's the light of the world. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Somebody was reminding me recently that the word glory, kavod, conveys also heaviness. And how many of you can remember the good old hippie days when something that was fantastic was heavy? Heavy, man. Such days. We're going to bring that back. His light shines on us. You and I have light to shine for others. Thanks to Messiah, you and I are called to be light for the nations. Yeshua's light is to guide us. We can share that light. Isaiah 42, verse 6, you'll be a light that guides the nations. Now, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, speaks to us about the turning of the attitude, the turning of the mind and the heart, the change of condition as you move from being in difficulty and you move into the hope and the plan and the future that God has for you. Here's one translation. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Another translation says it this way. I announce, this is the Lord, that I will restore twice as much to you. Another one says this, today I declare I will restore to you double. O prisoners who have hope, this very day I'm declaring that I will restore double to you. There is a time when we realize we're going to get restored, when we realize things are going to turn. How will they turn? I start trusting in God's plan for the future, his hope for the future. I don't give up simply because someone else is opposing that. I don't give up simply because there's resistance or it's not popular. You and I are not people that give up. We're not people that shrink back. We're not people that call it quits. We are people who press into God and keep going with the Lord, and we persevere. And it doesn't matter whether it's hard or it's easy, we continue. If you're sitting next to someone you like, smile at them and tell them, you're tough. You're tough. You're tough. You've got power from the Lord. Sometimes people look at what they've lost and they think, oh, if I could just get some of that back. But I can't. But Zechariah brings another word to us. The Lord will pay back double. There are times when the Lord will say, you know what? I'm going to make the enemy pay for this. I know what I wanted to do. I wanted to move you forward. And maybe you made a mistake and you thought that's the end. I remember during a difficult time in my life, I believed that the Lord could deliver me from the enemy, but he couldn't deliver me from me. And if I was responsible for my problems, then there's nothing he could do about it. And I had a sit down with the Lord where he told me I was thinking more like someone who believed in karma than in the covenant that God makes with us. And I had to repent of that. It is true that you will reap what you sow, but that's not the only thing that's true. If you think that's the only thing, then you should be a Buddhist, perhaps, and not a messianic believer. You serve a God who can redeem. He can restore. He can renew. He can give life to the dead. He can take the things in your life that look like they're dead, that are dead, and he can breathe life into them. He can replace what's missing. He can look into those parts of your life where you say, you know what, I missed that opportunity. Or that relationship I was hoping for, it just didn't work out. And he can say, you know what, I've still got good plans for you. I've still got hope for you. I've still got a way for you. What's the key? Press into the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't give up. Hold firm. And if you say, well, where do I get that? You start with trust. You start declaring to the Lord, I do trust you. You start telling him, I know you're faithful. You start remembering the good things. You recall. You go to your journals, your notes. You talk to someone who remembers good things about you. A few weeks ago, I heard from someone I haven't seen in several decades, someone who had been close to Sandy and me earlier in our life as believers. But we'd gone in separate ways, went into different continents, and just had a whole different life. And this friend connected back with us, and she was remembering things from 40 years ago about how God was faithful to us. And she was telling us about the things that she remembered that God had done. And then she even remembered how God had given her a heart for the Jewish people and for Israel. And so before she moved far away from us, she got a bumper sticker that Sandy made that simply said this in blue letters on white background. It said, support Israel. She put it on her car. She moved to another state in a whole other region of the country, in an area that turned out to have very few Jews and quite a few anti-Semites. And the welcome response she got for her bumper sticker was she got her tires slashed. And it didn't take away her peace or her joy. She thought that's just the price of standing with the Lord and standing with Israel. No regrets for that. So she could remember that from four decades ago. And I remember hearing some details like that, and you know what? It made me strong. It encouraged me. When you hang out with people who remember God's faithfulness, even his faithfulness to you or through you, it will make you stronger again. Now, I love what Hosea says in chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord says this, I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble. How many of you can relate to that? The valley of trouble. I can transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Imagine all your difficult situations right now as being a valley of trouble, and the Lord says, I can get my hands on this. I can change this valley. I can transform it into the doorway, the gateway of hope for you. What the place that's filled with sorrow for you is going to turn around and it's going to become another kind of place. It's going to become the very entrance way of hope to you. The place that gave you trouble is going to change into the door of hope for you. Now, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 42, this week's Torah portion, we're going to end with these few verses, Genesis 42, verses 50 through 52. In the middle of this very interesting passage about the life of Joseph, it tells us this. Two sons were born to Joseph before the year of famine came. Do you remember there were 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine? So this was before the famine came. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the firstborn Manasseh, because God has caused me to forget all the troubles I suffered at the hands of my family. And the second one he named Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune. Every day when Joseph called his sons, he spoke their names to them. They were a prophetic word to him. They were a reminder to him. Son, causing to forget, come here. Fruitful one, come here. Dad, why do you call me fruitful? Well, God made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune. Where was that, Dad? Here. Egypt. The land of my misfortune. Manasseh, why'd you call me Manasseh? because God helped me forget all the terrible things that I suffered from my family. Why don't we ever get to spend any time with your family, Dad? I don't even know where they are right now. But you know what? Those two boys, they were like a tonic for Joseph's soul. Because he was saying something to himself. He was saying, I can put behind me the troubles that I experienced even from my brothers who sold me into slavery. And Joseph is telling the truth. Troubles, suffering that came from his family. And then he says, God's made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune. You know, now he's prime minister of Egypt. Other people would have said, misfortune, this is the greatest position you could ever hope for. But Joseph says, no, this is the land of my misfortune. It was trouble that got me here. I'm still fruitful because of the Lord. The Lord has taken away the pain, but I went through it. Joseph learned something. He found a way to encourage himself, a way to keep remembering that God can restore what's been taken from us, and he can bring back what is lost. And so we read about these two boys and what they mean to Joseph. And then we discover that God has a great plan, which is to actually restore what was lost in two different ways. For Jacob, Joseph was lost. For Joseph, his whole family was lost to him. And God had a plan, and God had a way, and God makes a way. And we read week by week. It's not a sudden, short thing. We read over a period of time that God works through the famine to bring restoration to the family of Israel. This is a way that God is speaking to us. There's still hope. There's still hope when it looks like all hope is lost, when there's no way that you can make anything happen, when it's impossible for you to accomplish the restoration that you would want, even dare to believe in, God is still able to do it. As we're continuing in Hanukkah, I want you to remember just how much light is increasing day by day. Don't just take the menorah as a child's activity. Don't just take it as a religious ritual. But remember, the light of God is shining. It's shining brighter. Get up, arise, shine. Your light has come. I want to pray for everyone who feels like it's time to get out of the valley of trouble and get into the gateway of hope. If you're one of those people, you can stand up. You can wave your pinky. You can do anything to indicate you want to connect with the Lord. I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you that your light has risen, so our light can rise too. I want to thank you, Lord, for Hanukkah, for the time of restoration. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to give up. We don't have to lose hope. We don't have to give in. We don't have to forsake the vision, the dreams, the promises that you've given us. You are able to fulfill all these things. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Restore to us the joy of salvation. Renew your spirit in us as we're trusting in Messiah and remembering your faithfulness to us, Lord. Let us overflow with hope. And let it be, Lord, as we're overflowing with hope, that we find ways to encourage other people during these last days of Hanukkah, that we could shine your light on others in need. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, we're going to close with Aaron's blessing. And don't forget to visit with Craig and with Steve for the Take a Seat campaign. If you have questions you want to ask them, you might want to ask Craig where he got that cool tie. The suit. Good looking suit. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you day by day. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you that you could get up and shine too. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Chag Chanukah Sameach.